Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. The cleaning of the chapel will be this Monday after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. The 2024 liturgical calendar is available in the vestibule for a $15 donation. Please place your donation in the offering box in the opposite wall of the vestibule, or you can give it to one of the priests or seminarians. So again, blessing of the articles, no benediction, cleaning of the chapel, and the calendar. And if you've seen the calendar, was I not right? I gave you a sneak preview. I told you it's beautiful. So, and this is a chance, again, to thank all the people who do the cleaning, the people who help us with the calendars, the people who are helping us behind the scenes on many things, the landscape and all of that. We've doubled our staff size, that's all volunteers, in the last year. So, and a comment about that. We think you all understand this, but we are living history. We, all of you, all of us, we are living history. And one of those practical examples of it that we've come to realize is we have maybe 150 people here. A third of them are under 18. So following the math, 150, a third of them are 50 of them are younger, 18. That leaves us with about 100 people that are adults over 18. That's the size of the group of people that came over in the Mayflower. That group of people were able to establish a colony, and you know the rest of the history. That's what you are. Because we, over the many decades, have, whenever there's a need or something has to be done, there's always somebody here that has that skill. You think about it. Just in this little group of 100 people, we can build things. We can grow things. We can heal things. We can sanctify things right here in this little group. We don't know if you ever thought about that. We have, because we have to get these things done. And it goes into more like we can get engineers. We can get people that know legal things. You see how God provides? Just a little, so we can see how it's being worked out right now. 100 years from now, someone might be able to say, wow, what did those people do? They were so small. But it's all with God's help, obviously. And the feasts for this week. First thing on this point, we've said it many times, but we still hear people saying, oh, I don't know how to do that. So I'm just going to say it again. All you have to do is go to servi.org. That's S-E-R-V-I. It's Latin for servants. Servi.org. And right on the front page there, there's a little button that says sign up for the newsletter. And all you do is you go there, click. You can put in your email address. You don't even have to say, give your name. And you will every week get this Sunday newsletter. Now we speak about it because it's so encouraging. It's everything about this Mass is there written out, telling you all about the epistle, all about the gospel. You'd know all about it just by coming to Mass today. You'd have read it. You can hear all these sermons, and some of them have never been heard before. The one. And for all the people who are always, those few people who attack us for not being Catholic, not in good standing, being schismatic, and all that, we just look at that portrait of our Pope right there, St. Pius X. He's right there looking down upon us all. And there's a conference on today's, and who heard it originally? Maybe 20 people? It wasn't to all the people. So most of you probably have not heard this conference on St. Pius X. So inspiring. You have to listen to it. I'll just mention two things. One, that right there, that portrait, that painting, is so meaningful because it tells us exactly what's going on. That used to hang in the seminary, St. Thomas Seminary in Denver, but it was thrown out, and we saved it. That's what they think of that saint. And then you can hear more in the conference. The only other thing I'll say is this saint, even during his lifetime, was doing miracles. And so as Pope, there would be audiences and people they knew. And there was one crippled man, his arm was withered, they say. If you know anyone like that, if you've ever seen anything like that, the arm just has not grown with the size of the person, so it's like a stump, really. And the Pope was being moved through the crowd, maybe on the sedia gestatoria, and the man reached out with this stub of a hand, arm, and said, "Holy Father, heal me." And the Pope stroked his arm and said, "Yes." And the man's arm was healed right in front of this audience. Now, his feast is not till September, but it's still providential because today, August 20th, is the day he died, 109 years ago, and you can see what's happened without him around. Okay. Today is also the feast of St. Bernard. I only mention this. When he joined the monastery, this is before he started. When he joined the monastery, he brought with him 31 people, many of them his relatives and family members. And in fact, when they left, he and his brothers left, they say goodbye to their father. And the youngest son was still there. And they said, the older brothers said, "You get to inherit everything. You'll inherit all the lands and the titles and everything." And the youngest son, so this is not St. Bernard, but his brother, Nivard, said, "You have left me the person with poverty. You all have taken heaven and left me the earth." So after a few years, when he was old enough, he joined too. Monday is the feast of St. Jane Frances de Chantal. Started the Visitandines, and that's the famous order that St. Margaret Mary belonged to. And see, we can just mention the highlights. Okay, Tuesday is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, just for those people who may not know this, this group began as the Legion of Mary Immaculate. So at the very beginning of the crisis, the people here entrusted themselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary under this title of her Immaculate Heart. And you can see how the Blessed Mother took care of all the people here because she didn't rest on that. The Blessed Mother brought her son and Saint Joseph so that the Holy Family would take care of everyone. You see what happened. So there's a great debt right there for this whole group, all of us in general, but especially this group. And to mention in that context that we just had the Feast of Our Lady's Assumption. And if you recall, these are considered the 30 days of Our Lady from August 15th to September 15th. And as a big reminder for the whole month, these 30 days, 2 months really, this, if you're very attentive to everything you see and hear, this carpet that's put out is the blue one, reminding us of all these days. It's the Blessed Mother's 30 days. And we start out with this. The August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And so there's the Litany of the Immaculate Heart. Good, see, I'm remembering. I just mentioned from the Sunday newsletter about the talk about St. Pius X. And I also mentioned the Epistle and Gospel being described. There is a booklet there that you can click on and read all about the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the devotions and the saints and all the things. It's all right there. This is just what happens every Sunday. And there's more on this. I can't encourage people enough to just tap into this resource. But in that, it describes all these things, and we see that August dedicated to the Immaculate Heart. What is in September? The dedication to the Sorrowful Heart of the Blessed Mother. Why? We have, on the 15th, it's Our Lady of Sorrows. So we see the Immaculate and Sorrowful Heart, mimicking Our Lord's own heart. That is, that Our Lady was, because of the Immaculate Conception, she was brought into the world without any stain of sin, immaculate. But that was not what things were resting on, because the Blessed Mother gave all and sacrificed all, that is, her Son on the cross, and gained more. That's her Sorrowful Heart. So more can be said. The whole sermon can be said that. We cannot do that. Wednesday is the feast of St. Philip Benizi, who, from Florence, Italy, 13th century, all can be said. But he started out as a doctor. And after doing it for about a year, well, God just told him, go up, and he directed him what to do. And when he went he followed the direction, go up to this community of Servites and go to their mass. He went to the mass and he heard in the epistle all about this deacon in the early church named St. Philip. You know the story. I won't go through the story. But he heard this in the epistle, and he hears this St. Philip, not the apostle, the deacon. He hears the instruction to St. Philip, run up to that carriage. And that's what he said. That's because his name was Philip. Run up to these people, these priests. And so he became a servant. And I can't tell the rest of the story. Amazing. Thursday is the feast of St. Bartholomew, one of the 12 apostles. We'll just say this. When he first heard about, he heard from Philip about the Redeemer. This is at the very beginning of our Lord's public life. And Philip came to him, he was a friend, and said, there is this, the prophet is here. The Messiah has come. And he said, who is he? He said, he is Jesus of Nazareth. And St. Bartholomew said, what good can come from Nazareth? He was like a God-forsaken place. And here's the key. St. Philip said to him, come and see. And he did. And when our Lord met him, okay, I'm telling the story. Our Lord met him and he said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Our Lord in medium says that to him. And so Bartholomew is taken aback. Like our Lord's showing he knows him. And so Bartholomew says, how do you know me? And our Lord said, when you were under the tree, I saw you. Something happened under that tree with Bartholomew that our Lord is telling him, I know all about your inner thoughts. And he said, you are the King of Israel. That's his response. And then, so I have to stop. Friday is the feast of St. Louis the 10th. Louis the 9th. Oh, this is not 10. Louis the 9th. King of France. Great. His story is amazing. He did not get to accomplish everything he wanted. His sanctity, yes. But God had different plans for him because he wanted to take back the Holy Land. And he went on two crusades. And there's a whole history to that. And then the second one, he never even got into battle. He died of the plague. And there's a whole story about that. So I'm not going to speak about St. Louis except to say something about his mother. And there's a whole story about this Queen Blanche, just to say, as you know so well, she said to him, growing up, because he became king at age 12, growing up, she would teach him. He was not the oldest of the, it fell to him eventually because the older brothers died, and it fell to him, but she used to teach him, I would rather see you dead at my feet than to know that you committed a mortal sin. How many parents say that? We think, again, you've probably heard this, but we think of this sermon many years ago entitled Givers and Users. It's probably 40 years ago. And remembering, seeing, hearing, I don't remember how the story was told how the mother and the little 10-year-old daughter were leaving after the Mass. And the little girl had been so affected by that sermon that as they went out the doors, she looked up at her mother and said, "Am I a giver or a user?" How would you respond to that? How would you respond? Would you respond as Queen Blanche and say, "How? What do you think?" Teaching, the parent teaching, drawing out what was touching that child's soul. And this is not wrong in the parent, but you can see the parent's response was one of the natural affections of the heart, seeing the child in some degree of distress. The mother not being like Queen Blanche, taking a moment to teach and pursue what was happening there, the grace being given. "Oh, no, 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 you're a giver. You're a giver." See? It's not bad. But was the truth? What was the truth that the child was sensing, smothered by the mother's natural love? The mother didn't commit a sin. Well, you see the difference. That's why you have to be very, parents have to be very wise and prudent, subject to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, not natural love. And then Saturday is the Feast of St. Sepphorinus. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. "Brethren, such is the assurance I have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. He also it is who has made us fit ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministration of death, which was engraved in letters upon stones, was inaugurated in such glory that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses on account of the transient glory that shone upon it, shall not the ministration of the Spirit be still more glorious? For if there is glory in the ministration that condemned, much more does the ministration that justifies abound in glory." Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 10, verses 23 to 37. "At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and they have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and they have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer got up to test him, saying, Master, what must I do to gain eternal life? But he said to him, What is written in the law? How dost thou read? He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole strength, and with thy whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered rightly. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, wishing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in with robbers, who after both stripping him and beating him went their way, leaving him half dead. But as it happened, a certain priest was going down the same way, and when he saw him, he passed by. And likewise a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came upon him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And he went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And setting him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him, and whatever more thou spendest, I on my way back will repay thee. Which of these three, in thy opinion, proved himself neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? And he said, He who took pity on him. And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou also in like manner." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, the Gospel, we've heard it. So just bring out some of these little points to make it more alive. First of all, reading, as you know, Father Fionn, we've told you, you heard his commentaries on the scriptures for decades. We showed you his book. So he tells us, when we think of Jerusalem and Jericho, compared to our geography, that's like Jerusalem would be its own peak, but it's like Woodland Park. And Jericho would be like Colorado Springs. So this, but of course, Jerusalem was the peak of that range. That was what it was like, this path they're talking about. It's like coming down from Woodland Park, this windy road in the midst of all these mountain passes and everything, coming down to Jericho. And how easy it was for robbers to hide in the caves and rocks and easily waylay people. We hear how the religious leaders, the priest, saw the injured traveler, and he just kept going. He didn't even bother. He just saw him and kept going. The Levite was more curious. He saw him, and he went over to him, and then he went on. The Samaritan was hated by the Jews. Now, when we hear Samaritan, we think of the Good Samaritan because we know that this is our Lord describing himself, the great outcast, to the degree they killed him. And I'll just leave it at that. There's a whole history of why they hated the Samaritans, and there was reason to, actually. The Samaritans were heretics. But our Lord, because this is our Lord telling this story, this is a parable. So he picks out the Samaritan to show an outcast in distinction to their religious leaders. And he said, "See what happens." And we see and this is all broken down. If you read the Sunday newsletter, you'd hear all these details that our Lord is talking about. How he took the wine and oil. This to us it's resonating. We're hearing wine and oil, the elements for the sacraments. So beaten up by the devil and his minions, this poor soul has been inflicted pain because of sin. And God comes to him and gives him the sacraments to help him. And he's still not recovered enough. He takes him on his own beast. That's really taking it on his own back. Why? Because our Lord became a man. And he's carrying the whole human race on his back with that cross. And he carries him to the inn. And he stays with him. That's what it says. He stays with him in the inn, the church, the place to be helped. And then the next day, he has to go on. He has to go on to help others. And so he says to the innkeeper, the true priests, his true apostles and priests, he says, "You continue to take care of him. And I'm giving you 2 denarii, 2 coins. And as I forget which saint, it's Saint Bede, the Venerable, explain what these coins represent. The Old and the New Testament. The consoling words of Revelation to help this man to recover. And then our Lord says to the church leaders that he's entrusted the sinner to, anything you do more, I will repay you. You see the whole salvation history being worked out in this story about, and that's us. And of course, St. Paul is contrasting the old law, which is God's law, and he's, you know, the might of the law and how just Moses, the one who came down from the mountain with the tablets, that's what's being described, they could not look upon him. We just had the Feast of Transfiguration. This was the transfiguration of Moses. And they said, "We cannot look at you." And so Moses had to wear a veil because they couldn't look upon his face. So St. Paul says, If that's what the Old Testament is like, what is the New Testament? The spirit of the law. Because the law itself kills, he tells us that. And we can see it in this lawyer asking the question originally. Because it's all about laws. Is it 602 laws? We know the Ten Commandments, and then summing it up to the two, love God and neighbor, as we heard here. But these people were used to, even you see what happened when our Lord had him answer simply, and our Lord said, you have answered correctly. Then it says he wanted to justify himself because he looked somewhat like a fool, because he was hoping to become some big discussion with our Lord, and the answer was given very simply. Love God with all you have, and then love your neighbor. You have answered correctly. And by the way, you'll notice when our Lord first speaks in the Gospels, he was 12 years old. And the first statements he made were questions. Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And the people listening to him at that time were amazed at his questions and his answers. So you can see what happened here. This man asked our Lord a question, and what did he do? Our Lord asked him two questions back. What does the law say? How do you read? And then when the man, to justify himself, because he had in front of all his friends, he didn't want to look stupid. So he said, well, okay, tell me, who is my neighbor? And then you see what our Lord does. He gives the parable, but he asks a question. Who do you think was the neighbor to the man on the road? And of course, the scripture scholars tell us this. He did not want to say Samaritan. They didn't want to even say the word. So he said, he who showed mercy to him. And our Lord said, you've answered correctly. Go and do in like manner. That's the parting words for us. Looking, because it's warm. Maybe it's warmer up here, I'm not sure. But we don't want to go too long. But what is that? What does this all mean for us? We can, because all the parts of the Mass are telling us we have to cry out. The introit is the prayer that starts every hour of the office. God, make haste to help me. And now the liturgists are telling us, these are the words of the man on the road. I'm abandoned by the priests. I'm abandoned by the Levites. God, help me. Hurry. The enemy has done this to me. Sound familiar? Now it's our prayer. The gradual, talking about the praise. The alleluia, talking about crying out for salvation. Oh, the offertory. We haven't done it yet. It's long. The people have sinned, and punishment is due to come. And Moses, in fact, it's coming. It's happening. And Moses gets up and prays, God, Father of God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac, do not turn on your own people. Remember the promises you made to bring them to a land of milk and honey. And he prayed and prayed, and then it says, God heard and was appeased and did not wreak vengeance on his people. Sound familiar? This is supposed to be our prayer. And it is our prayer. But we have to make sure we all understand. And then the communion is talking about those same elements, oil, adding bread, and wine. So there's the elements of the sacraments again in the communion, because we just received communion. But think of this. God wants our cooperation. Go and do in like manner. Because how about those things? Wine does not just grow. Bread does not just grow. Oil does not just grow. The olives grow. The wheat grows. The grapes grow. But we have to contribute. We have to be part of it. See what's happening? See how our Lord includes us all? Now, and just as a conclusion, because we have to conclude, we just want to make this point. You see how our Lord distilled, and I forget to mention, I was talking about the lawyers and the laws. The reason why is this, the two commandments that he summed up perfectly, and our Lord said, you said correctly. For them, they had like 602 different laws. There were 365, because that's how many days in the year. So there's a law for every day, and there was 248 flowing from the Ten Commandments, and you know, so whatever that adds up to be, 602 or whatever. That's what he expected our Lord to say, and our Lord makes it very simple. And so that's the other thing we want to walk away with. It's a very simple thing to get to heaven. It's hard to do. That's why he says, go forth and do in like manner. But what's in our head should be pretty simple. Love God and neighbor. Now, this is the part where, again, we have to turn to the young people in this sense, because unfortunately, all of us, but especially young people, are bombarded with propaganda. The enemy is constantly, and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. We live in it, in the midst of it. And we do learn some pretty good platitudes. Maybe you've heard of things like this. It's not gospel or anything, but you know, this is my priority. God, family, and country. Duty, honor, country. We hear here that our Lord's saying, love God. That, well, we had that one word. God, family, and country. And it says, love neighbor. So we can see, okay, family and country to that extent. But we have been raised, and it can be a whole analysis of this. Again, we have not done that. For example, when we've spoken about sports, it's worth an analysis. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to make an analysis. We know it's bad, and we've said that. So we haven't made an analysis of the education system we're all raised in. And I made it. This is what the adults say. This is what we say. We made it through. Didn't hurt us. Oh, did it not? We are still peeling away all of the propaganda that we are living under and suffering under, and we don't even know it until God gives us light. And so if you do hear this, like we hear about Horace Mann, and we know about, I mentioned that because there's a school right here called Horace Mann, and maybe some people have gone there in the past, I know they have. And he was a famous educator in the 1800s, and where did he get this? He got it from the Prussians, whose king wanted to put in a system to make the youngsters conform so they join his army and just obey his laws. And the Americans said, we're going to do that. We're going to make them conform. We don't need an army. We need factory workers, people that just get on an assembly line and do what they're told. Now, we don't have that as much today, but the same principle is there. We want robots conforming to what we tell them and not even let them know. Let them be willing slaves. We're not going to put them in chains. We're going to let them chain themselves. We're going to let them turn their children over to us. We're not going to take them away. We're going to let them do it. We're going to let them feed themselves and run around trying to pay everything they have to pay. But they're going to send all of their children to us so we can contaminate them. And they don't even know it. So, for all the young people, do not buy the lies. You keep hearing people saying, Father saying it, they're lying. And we say, what lie? It's too long a list. Maybe at a Q&A, ask Father, what are some of the lies? And they're lying to us all the time, wanting you to conform. Do not be like, they do not want you to be like a Samaritan, the good Samaritan, who stands out from everyone else. No, go along. Do the sports, do this, do that. Do not stand out. Be a friend of the people that are going to hell. Don't buck the system. That's what they're trying to do, and it's working. How do we know? We just went through 3 years of a lie where they brought this country the economy of this country to a standstill, and they stop people from going to church. And why did it happen? Because it's drummed into us. Conform. Well, you know, we don't conform to the world. We conform to love God with everything you have and love your neighbor and step out as a Samaritan to help your neighbor when you see he needs it. And do what our Lord says. Go forth and do in like manner. May God bless you.